It's a Tuesday edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. Welcome and thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Taylor Charleston will be in with a feature report, and I'll have a look at regional and national agricultural news, beginning with regional ag news, right after this word from our sponsor.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
Western Agricultural Processors Association President and CEO Roger Isom has spent some time at the state capitol meeting with legislatures in an all-out effort to reinstate farmer funding to the state budget. The Funding Agricultural Replacement Measures for Emission Reductions is an incentive program designed to help farmers achieve voluntary emissions reductions by helping pay for new lean-burning tractors and harvesters while having the farmers destroy the older, higher-emitting equipment. As of last year, more than 4,200 tractors and harvesters had been replaced, as well as 277 ag trucks and 66 ag pump engines with the lowest emission equipment available. In addition, more than 2,600 fuel-burning ATVs had been replaced with fully electric UTVs. In general, this has generated more than 20,000 tons of nitrous oxide reductions, 1,200 tons of PM reductions, and more than 185,000 metric tons of CO2 equivalents. The hugely successful program has been a win-win for everyone, especially air quality in the San Joaquin Valley. The program is also part of an important state implementation plan that promotes the use of the incentives to meet a goal of achieving 11 tons per day of nitrous oxide emissions by the end of 2023. Should the goal not be achieved, it will force the California Air Resources Board to develop and implement a mandatory tractor replacement rule that will require the replacement of every Tier 0, 1, and 2 tractor and harvester by 2030. This would be devastating to farmers throughout the valley that are already battling high energy, labor, fuel, and other input costs while dealing with the implementation of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. Unfortunately, the growing statewide budget deficit is weighing heavy on legislatures as they fight to keep funding in existing programs. Isom says every office they visited understood the importance of the farmer program, but many indicated it's a very tough year from a fiscal perspective. Nonetheless, many indicated their support of the farmer program, and he remains hopeful that some amount of funding will be reinstated. The association is part of a large coalition seeking $160 million in farmer funding for FY 2023. The San Luis Obispo County Farm Bureau is telling farmers and ranchers that raise an agricultural commodity they are not eligible for U.S. Small Business Administration disaster assistance for their business losses. Damages to personal, not business property like a residence are eligible for SBA loans or Federal Emergency Management Agency grants. Agriculture-related businesses like a winery, irrigation company, or any other business that does not grow a commodity are eligible for SBA assistance. If your business produces a commodity but also has other non-production operations, you might be eligible for SBA assistance. For example, a business that grows wine grapes and also makes wine might qualify for SBA assistance for the winery operation damages, even though damages to the farming operation are not covered. The eligibility determination for an agricultural entity that also has a non-agricultural component is made by the SBA loan officer after reviewing the financial information of the entity. The deadline to apply for SBA and FEMA is this Wednesday. You can apply for SBA loans online or in person at the SBA Disaster Loan Outreach Center in San Luis Obispo. And farmers and ranchers should also apply to the USDA Farm Service Agency for both cost share programs and low interest loans. We've heard a lot about rising fertilizer prices since mid-2020, and various explanations have been offered. University of California Davis Deloach Professor of Agricultural Economics Aaron Smith says a confluence of factors have combined to cause the price spike, and that in part is due to the Russia-Ukraine conflict. He says that oil and gas prices have surged due to supply uncertainty created by Russian threats to invade Ukraine. These events have pushed fertilizer prices up even more, strengthening the economic incentive for American farmers to cut back on fertilizer use this year. The Green Revolution of the 60s and 70s that led to a boom in agricultural productivity was fueled not only by improved plant varieties, but an increased use of chemical fertilizers such as urea nitrogen, phosphate products, and potash. Nitrogen use, which accounts for 60% of all fertilizer use, actually increased by a factor of 4 during this time, with a much slower but steady rise in use after the early 80s until a peak during the 2008 commodity boom. However, fertilizer prices, which had been relatively stable since 2015, began to rise in 2020 and almost doubled between the summer of 2020 and the end of 2021. The U.S. manufacturers use natural gas to turn nitrogen into ammonia, a more accessible form of nitrogen for most crops. In fact, natural gas accounts for 80% of the cost of producing ammonia fertilizer. Thus, when natural gas prices doubled between the summer of 2020 and the end of 2021, the increased cost of nitrogen production was reflected in the price of urea fertilizer. Energy costs are important to a lesser extent for the mining of phosphate and potash, but as many crops supply a mix of the three macronutrients, rising energy prices have and will likely to continue to play a significant role in the overrise of fertilizer pricing. Severe storms such as Hurricane Ida in August of 2021 and the Texas freeze in February of 2021 further disrupted nitrogen supply, and COVID-19 supply chain disruptions in late 2021, combined with the rise in cost of shipping since 2020, have also contributed to the perfect storm of events that has caused the current skyrocketing prices. And in celebration of the agriculture industry and our farmers, March 21st through the 27th is National Agriculture Week.
The USDA has recently updated several conservation, livestock, and crop disaster assistance programs to give more producers the opportunity to apply for support and access programs after a natural disaster has occurred. Zach Dugenot, an administrator for the Farm Service Agency at USDA, talks with us about the Non-Insured Crop Disaster Assistance Program and how it has been improved.
NAP is our Non-Insured Disaster Assistance Program, and it does what it says. For producers who don't have an opportunity to opt into or purchase federally subsidized crop insurance or other insurance products, NAP is where they can make an application for catastrophic level coverage for their crops or for a higher level of coverage should they choose a buy-up option on that.
Enhancements to the program include making it easier for producers of certain categories to receive assistance and expanding the program's eligibility.
Well, a major enhancement that we're making here with regard to the NAP program is easing enrollment for underserved producers. Underserved producers, in this case, include socially disadvantaged, limited resource, beginning or veteran farmers or ranchers or growers. And those producers do not have to pay the administrative fee in order to participate in NAP at their local Farm Service Agency office. But because they're underserved and because they're not used to having a risk management tool, often, despite the fact that this assistance is available at no charge to them, they don't come in the office and sign up. They may come into the office for other things. What we've done here is allow a producer to simply come into the office, fill out the CCC 860 form that validates their status as a socially disadvantaged, limited resource, beginning, or veteran farmer and rancher. And that will constitute a NAP application that suffices for our purposes. It's going to help increase enrollment and help more producers be able to take advantage of this critical safety net tool. The eligibility expansion is effectively the fact that we're allowing more producers to come in. It's the same set of producers, but we're increasing the number of ways they can participate. Producers can also come in and fill out the NAP application form, but this gives them another option and allows them to participate in the program just by virtue of having the CCC 860 form on file.
NAP can be a valuable tool for producers without crop insurance. Dujno explains more about the program and how it can benefit producers.
Basic NAP coverage, for which the producer doesn't have to pay an administrative fee if they meet this underserved category, is coverage on any loss above 50% at a 55% payment rate. So you have to stand the first 50% of the loss, but for every percentage point above that 50% loss of your production, we'll come in there with some assistance. Producers can exercise the option to buy up coverage, so buy up at a higher level of coverage, and I think that goes anywhere from 60, 65, 70. Those will all be on our fact sheet as well, but the buy-up coverage, even for our underserved producers, does have a nominal administrative fee just to cover the cost of running the program. But that's to help producers take a look at what a crop insurance-like relationship may feel like. It's a really valuable tool for our producers that don't have that crop insurance out there yet in their area or their region. And we hope that a lot of producers get out there and take advantage of this opportunity.
Dujno said he and his team value being available for producers with questions. He said producers may contact him at 202-941-4675. This is Kylie Harlan reporting for My Ag Life.
In national agricultural news here today, rice growers impacted by weather events last year can soon apply for a one-time assistance program to be offered by USDA. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
A one-time assistance program will soon be open for sign-up for eligible rice growers.
As we navigated through the reality of 2022's extreme number of weather-related disasters was that rice producers had some needs that typical risk management tools didn't quite meet.
Which USDA Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau said led Congress to fund what is known as the Rice Production Program.
So it'll be $250 million. To rice producers across the country to help mitigate those impacts.
The RPP is similar to the Emergency Relief Program, with data including planted and prevented planted rice acreage in 2022. The administrator adds rice producers need to visit local FSA offices to fill compliance forms and documentation to qualify for a higher payment limitation. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The Food Industry Association has released the Power of Produce 2023 report, revealing produce department sales grew 4.8% to $74.5 billion in 2022, even as inflation increased the price of fruits and vegetables. More consumers are turning to value-added produce, pre-cut and washed, and packaged salads, which provide convenience but typically come with a higher price point per pound. Most shoppers say they'd like their store to carry a bigger selection of these time-saving produce products despite higher prices and inflation. Consumers are continuing to purchase produce at roughly the same volume as in 2021, despite rising prices due to inflation. The shift they're noticing is that shoppers turn to more affordable, conventional fresh fruits and vegetables and canned and frozen vegetables rather than buying pricier organic items. That, according to Rick Stein, vice president for fresh foods at FMI, he says shoppers are searching for deals, but also willing to pay more for convenience like pre-cut and washed products. This shows how complicated the consumer decision process is. On one hand, shoppers are saying price is important, but when it comes to convenience, they are willing to pay, he says. Power of Produce 2023 is FMI's eighth in-depth look at produce consumption and buying habits through shoppers' eyes. Here are some of the other key findings from the report. One-third of Americans typically consume fresh produce daily, while a majority say they eat fresh produce at least 4 to 5 days a week. Most shoppers always or usually include fresh vegetables with their dinner. Fresh fruit is consumed the most at breakfast and in snacking. Produce is the second largest grocery store perimeter department behind meat. Almost one-third of shoppers say the produce department is a determining factor in where they shop for groceries. More than a quarter of shoppers rank price as a top factor when selecting and purchasing fresh produce. After several years of aggressive growth for organic, the trend has reversed as organic produce volume decreased in 2022. One quarter of shoppers indicated they are purchasing cheaper fresh produce in light of inflation, which may further pressure organic sales in 2023, although many core organic consumers expect they will further increase their purchases. And more than one third of shoppers want more information on recommended daily totals and what constitutes a serving size when it comes to produce, while close to half of consumers want more information about the nutrition content, health benefits, and ways to integrate produce into snacking. Current portion and nutrition knowledge is higher among those who frequently consume fresh produce, underscoring the importance of helping consumers make educated shopping decisions at the grocery store. As the Food Industry Association, FMI works with and on behalf of the entire industry to advance a safer, healthier, and more efficient consumer food supply chain. The American Farm Bureau Federation's Ag Innovation Challenge is looking for entrepreneurs and innovators for the 2024 edition of the contest. Farm News reporter Chad Smith has more on the competition now in its 10th year.
The Ag Innovation Challenge is a business-based competition designed to showcase startups in the U.S. Chase Heineman, Director of Industry Relations at AFBF, says they're looking for people who are working on ways to help meet the challenges faced by farmers and ranchers.
It is an opportunity for these startups to pitch their ideas to American Farm Bureau, as well as our judges, and to secure funding for their ideas, for their businesses, to help grow their businesses and take it to the next level. It's also an opportunity for them to interface with other professionals in the startup space.
The Ag Innovation Challenge is in its 10th year and has continued growing since it began. He talks about what makes a business a good fit for the challenge.
Any startup that is agriculture focused, that is seeking to help farmers and ranchers meet the challenges that they face every day, trying to develop solutions. Those are the types of businesses that we're looking for. Those businesses that are thinking creatively in their product and in their service, but also their business model.
Heineman says this is a great opportunity for new businesses, both from a financial and development standpoint.
The Ag Innovation Challenge is obviously an awesome opportunity to get an increase in financing. So if companies, startups are looking to expand operations or take their companies to the next level, this is an opportunity. More so even than that, it's a great opportunity to network with other startups.
The Ag Innovation Challenge is presented in partnership with Farm Credit. Farm Bureau will award $165,000 in startup funds to 10 businesses. For more information, go to fb.org/challenge. Chad Smith, Washington.
If you would like to provide comments on the 2023 Farm Bill or provide feedback on a 2018 Farm Bill, the U.S. Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry welcomes those comments. You can find a form on their website at agriculture.senate.gov.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.